I'm going to Mallorca in a bit. In a few weeks. I keep telling people I'm going on Love Island. They're not buying it.
Which part of Mallorca are you going to?
Calamalor.
Oh.
I don't think it's the part where
Love Island is. No. You actually would make it more interesting if you were.
It would. I'm saying there should be
an older
version of it. Yeah. If they're really looking for like,
you should,
you know,
actually. Probably be more interesting.
It would. There'd probably be a lot more sex on it.
Yeah.
Because people would be like, fuck it.
Let's just get down to it.
Hey, this is Mark Asquith, CEO and co-founder at Rebel Base Media, the UK podcasting experts. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, it's time that I started my own podcast. Because as we know, podcasting is a wonderful way to build audience engagement, a wonderful way to interact and connect with your audience, and it's a wonderful way to build your business. Well, you can get started with your own podcast today for just £1 by checking out Captivate.fm, the world's only growth-oriented podcast hosting company, analytics platform, and distribution center. Go and start podcasting today for just £1 at Captivate.fm.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Marketed Not Live, the podcast for marketers who are looking to their own community to find out what's working now and, importantly, you know, what's around the corner, what's coming up. In every episode, we bring to you a guest to talk about a specific marketing topic that will help you broaden your marketing horizon. So, you know, if the only thing that you really look at is social media, or maybe you're really focused on websites and SEO, we're trying to bring you out of your bubble and give you something to think about and maybe something to try. We've got some great guests lined up, including speakers from this year's Marketed Live, which of course takes place on Monday the 30th of September 2019 at the wonderful Nottingham Contemporary. And I know I say this every time, it would be absolutely fantastic if we had you there as well. So make sure you check out marketed.live online, get your hands on one of the tickets that are left. There's not huge numbers left now, so if you want one, now is definitely the time to go and get it. Okay, so today's guest, I'm going to describe her as a babe because I did that when I first saw her earlier today. Lindsay Newman-Wood is the Chief Passion Officer of Passion Marketing and the Master Sprinter of Mustard Sprints, a design sprint facilitation business. She's also a rock star mom, gin lover, and a Shropshire lass living in Castle Donington with her husband and two sons who are actually rock stars themselves, no joke. And when she's not helping folk get better at marketing, she is supporting that rockstar family at gigs and festivals. She's known for her no-nonsense fun and engaging seminars where she gets to be the star of her own show for a change. Welcome, Lindsay. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good, good, good. Thanks for coming on the show. I've got loads to ask you, but my first question is, what's a chief passion officer? It sounds a bit sordid.
It does raise a few eyebrows when I give my business card to people at networking events. But I just thought I'd have some fun with it. My branding guy said to me, you shouldn't do it. And I thought, no, why not? It's a conversation opener.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, particularly if you're going to do networking, you know, you always get, you know, nothing wrong with like accountants and family solicitors and stuff like that, but there's a lot of those.
Yeah.
So standing out from that is important.
Mix it up a bit.
Yeah. So how do you describe a chief passion officer?
I suppose the reason I called my business Passion Marketing was because I was passionate about marketing, but also passionate about helping people get better at marketing, because there's a lot of poor marketing out there, mm-hmm. and a lot of wasted money on marketing. So I love helping people get a bit more focus and clarity with their marketing, and that's kind of why I do what I do. That's why I get the buzz out of it, really.
And you've recently adapted your, not adapted, that's the wrong word, but you've developed your business really into going into these design sprints. And that's really wanted to talk to you about today, because when we were sort of discussing it on the phone, actually, it sort of sparked my interest. And the whole point of this podcast is to bring people new ideas and get people thinking about different aspects. So what is a design sprint?
Well, I suppose I ought to tell you a bit of the story. I had a bit of a light bulb moment when I got introduced to design sprints. Similar to a company that I would urge anyone to follow, which is AJ and Smart in Berlin. they were kind of fed up of doing the same thing they were doing all the time. They were a design company, but like designing products, and they were kind of getting tired with things taking too long. And I don't know, you as a business owner, you love those projects that when at the start it's really exciting and things are like, wow, and you know, you've got all these ideas, but then things take so long, customers take a long time to sign things off, and everybody starts to lose interest, whereas design sprints happen over 4 or 5 days and they're really quick. So I kind of read the book, which has been written by a guy called Jake Knapp, and he's from Google Ventures, really nice guy. And when I read it, I thought, this kind of combines all the things I love, like running workshops, working with teams, working quickly, but actually the value that it gives the client is amazing. So it was one of those, this is what I want to do. You know, I've been doing this for 7 years, and I thought, you know, you've got to keep moving forward. You've got to keep doing something different. You've got to, a bit like Madonna, you know, you just got to keep recreating yourself.
You're not out of tune now, are you, though?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, she's kind of lost it a little
bit.
She might not be a good example, but...
I know what you mean. I know what you mean, though.
You've
is that reinvention?
Moving. Yeah. And also for you as a business owner, like if you're starting to get a little bit stale or a bit stuck, you need something to get you excited about the business again.
Totally.
So I then, you know, got trained to do it. A company in London actually trained me over 2 or 3 days on how to do facilitation, and it just opened up so many ideas and opportunities, because although it's designed predominantly for tech startups to move ideas or products quickly, because I think what the idea was, it was they were getting fed up. Google Ventures were invested in these tech startups and in Silicon Valley, and you know, all these techie guys, bless them, they were spending too much on the technology and not on what the user wanted. So this takes an idea or a challenge and sprints it across so many days, and then it will include things like prototyping and user testing.
Mm-hmm.
So by the end, you might actually decide this product is not ready, so, or this idea is not right, but you might also find this idea is amazing. These are just the things we need to do to tweak it and then to launch. So it kind of...
Okay, so I guess what you're saying there then is because it's agile in nature, that if you do something and you decide, no, this is pap.
Yeah.
You haven't wasted a load of time, money and investment in getting to that conclusion. You get to that conclusion quite quickly, and therefore there's some efficiencies there.
Exactly. So some companies, and I've worked for big companies in the past where... you kind of go down a bit of a rabbit hole, and you've invested a lot of money in something, and it's somebody's job as well to make that happen. And actually, lots of people around you are saying, we're not sure this is going to work. And you might spend 12 months on that, whereas this is, in 5 days, you'll know quite clearly. So it might be, you know, that you say, actually, we should just pause this project. This is not, it's not the right time for us. The users don't get it, or there's something better out there, so it won't be a success. So I think there's lots of positives from it, but it's really fun, it's intense, but you get the team involved, so you've got the experts in the room.
Who's in the team? Who's typically
so
involved?
You would typically, it will be key people within the business. That might be
decision makers.
It might
the
be
the MD or something.
Yeah, it could be the MD. The MD doesn't always have to be in the room, but he could be the key decision maker. But it's important that you have some people at the coalface as well. So it might be Sandra who answers the
great
calls.
Name.
You know, yeah, you know Sandra.
Sandra, so paramount. If I had an animal, I'd probably call it Sandra.
Yeah, it's a cool name. So she might be the person that is not necessarily very senior in the team, but she answers loads of calls. She takes all the complaints. She knows exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
She knows the business really well, and she knows the customers really well,
right.
More importantly. Quite important to have her in the room. Equally, you'd have a designer in the room as well. So you'd have somebody. So say, for example, we said, well, it's a new app or it's a website. So we would need to have a designer in the room that would design a prototype of that thing. And then we would go out and user test.
Right.
And then the team don't need to be in the room when that's happening. So they probably need to be in the room on day one and two,
where
we really sort of frame what it is that we're doing.
It's even efficient in terms of people's time then, because not everybody needs to be at the meeting all the time.
Absolutely.
You select the right people for the right conversation.
Yes, definitely. Okay. And what's important, and I did a bespoke one recently for around a rebrand, so it was not a digital product. What we found was the business hadn't, we hadn't made it absolutely crystal clear that the same people needed to be in the room all the time.
Right.
So there was a core team that was there the whole time, but there were people that were saying, oh, I need to go to a meeting. We were like, actually, the core team need to be there for that whole time. Otherwise, the dynamic changes and the context and the understanding might be lost. So that's quite key. But they don't have to be in the room for the whole 4 or 5 days.
But presumably then you have to sell that concept to them to say, look, everyone's got to buy into this and this is what your requirement is. It's not going to be necessarily for the whole 5 days, but if you're in...
You're in.
You're in.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And you might call experts in for certain parts. You might say, well, this person, Martin, doesn't need to be in the whole time, but he needs to be in for this element. So we would design all that beforehand and we would frame that with the customer beforehand. Right. Yeah. So,
and this very much sounds like this is a concept, really, isn't it? The concept of design sprints. And I suppose people are used to things like sprints and agile and scrum for project management. So what are the similarities and differences between say a scrum project management thing and a design sprint?
Because I don't actually know. Because I'm quite new to this, but I believe that there are similarities, but this takes the best of all those
sounds like
systems.
It, yeah.
That I don't know the detail, but I do know that it takes the best of all those and brings all that together in quite a streamlined way. And a lot of it is believing in the process as well. So we do, I mean, post-it notes, like I wish I had a company that made post-it notes because I am using a lot.
Right.
But the bit that I like about it as well is that the team each have a voice, each person within the team have a voice. So if you've worked for companies where maybe there's a quiet person in the room, but actually they've got an amazing idea, they never get heard because they're not great at selling their idea or speaking up in meetings. This stops that.
And do you, as the facilitator, bring them in? Is your job to find that person who's in there and you know what their role is, but maybe you've decided, look, they are being a bit quiet.
Yeah.
Your job is to kind of like, okay, well, Dave, we've got Dave and Sandra in the team now. Dave, you know, what do you think?
Yeah, so you have a process where you get everybody to do, it's called How Might We? And it's about solutions to something.
Ooh,
so
I like that question.
How Might We?
Open.
Yeah. And they just put everything out they want to do quietly, so they don't talk to each other. They just work on their own, but together. That's kind of how it's described. So they work on their own. They put ideas down on a post-it notes, so that could be words or pictures or whatever comes into their mind, and then they put them up on a wall, and then we do what we call note and vote. So they vote on the best ideas. They get so many dots to vote.
Yeah.
So it's...
Is that anonymous?
No. They do it in front of each other.
Yeah, but it's not like they say, this is Dave's idea. So if let's think, Brian... building this team here. Brian hates Dave, doesn't really want to be there, and he sees that, you know, he's not going to vote for Brian's idea. I just wondered whether there was anything
difficult. Yeah, that's a difficult one because we won't know.
You don't know the politics.
I don't know the politics. So, but the having an outside facilitator hopefully cuts through a lot of that. But you just don't know what the politics may be. But we do set some expectations at the start that say, you know, you've got to have an open mind and an open heart and get stuck into this. You can't be, well, I don't like Dave, so.
What sort of businesses are ready for this then? Because it sounds as though, you know, there does need to be some explanation and that the company has to buy into the idea. And they might do that because, I don't know, they recognise that their current processes are stuck. But presumably, you know, you have to sell it into them. What sort of companies typically are going for this?
Well, it has to be a company that's got the resource. I mean, you know, they might see the value, but they do obviously need to spend a little bit of money, but also the time. They've got to commit to it. So you can't just, it won't suit very, very small businesses because they haven't really got some of the team around them. And also there is a, you know, financially there is an investment because you've
got to pay for you.
Pay for me, of course. And a designer in the room and maybe an external venue and, you know, all that goes with that. However, it can suit so many businesses because when I was doing the facilitation training, there were people from BT, there were people that were from Department of Work and Pensions because they wanted to use it in their change management because of the team element. It can be a digital product. That works really well with this because prototyping is easier. Physical products is a little bit harder because it would be longer. The prototype building could be longer.
Yeah, understand.
But still doable.
What about services?
Services, definitely. Yeah, services. It's applying the principles. So you could even have an experience. So one experience that was explained to me was a doctor's waiting room even.
Right. Oh, okay.
So improving the experience.
Go on, talk about
this. And then, so the idea being that they identified our, you know, that the complaints around, and we all know, you know, doctor's surgery, it's not the best.
I don't touch anything in a doctor's surgery, do you?
Especially these touch screen.
Yeah, why did they do that?
I don't know. No, it's like, you've got to straight away go to the hand wash thing, don't you? So the idea was that they could sprint this instead of just like talking about it from emailing and meetings and, you know, never really doing anything. They did a sprint. And one of the biggest things was the accessibility. So people in wheelchairs, they didn't even have a ramp for people coming into the surgery who were in a wheelchair. And the way that they were greeted and people had never been there before, they didn't know where anything was. So all that sort of stuff was taken care of. But it was the team that actually came up with it, the ideas, and then it was tested on people. So they actually tested the experience.
And I would imagine that would be quite quick because there's no, they might have to buy a ramp, right? But let's say it was not accessibility. Let's say it was, you know, people complain about the touch screen.
Yeah.
You know, well, maybe people, the simple answer is to put the hand gel next to the touch screen.
Yes, yeah. But
that's quite quick to do, isn't it?
Quite quick to do, yeah. So a good example as well in the book, which was a fun one, was a robot that a tech company had designed that would work in hotels. So if you went to a hotel in London tonight and you're in a rush and you forgot your toothbrush, they could send Gary.
Gary the robot?
The robot.
Gary the robot.
We've got a bit of a theme going on with the names. So Gary the robot could come to your room and bring you a toothbrush. So this sounded amazing because it would, all the low-level tasks that hotel staff get asked to do but often can't, but it would make the experience better for the guest. They thought, well, this is a really great idea, but the robot was a little bit, it looked like a bin, an upside-down bin. So humans are so used to seeing things on Star Wars and, you know, and the movies, and they would expect it to be a proper robot that maybe would
like
even talk to
R2-D2
them. Yeah, like R2-D2
or C-3PO. Yeah, the C-3PO. Waddling up.
So they knew there was a high expectation. So when Google Ventures took this business under their wing and they said, look, guys, you know, this is a great idea, but we need to sprint this. We need to do some work on this. So they looked at ways that they could put maybe a face on it. So it wasn't going to be hugely
with
expensive.
A Sharpie.
Yeah, with a Sharpie. And how could a human interact with it?
Okay,
So they did things like it could do a little dance, maybe, if, you know.
Here's your toothbrush.
You could sort of have a little message on an iPad that was stuck to the face or something that said, here's your toothbrush. Are you pleased with the service that Gary has given you today?
Yeah.
You could say yes, and then it would do a little dance. And it was far more, it wasn't something off Star Wars.
No.
But it was at least
a bit more fun
and the experience, because it kind of could be a bit scary if you rang down reception and said, can I have a toothbrush? And then just this robot appeared at your door. You'd be like, what the heck is this all about? You know, like, so they did a user testing in a hotel in America. And it was quite funny that Jake Knapp tells the story how they, have you heard of Craigslist? So you can list, you know, they listed this opportunity to do some user testing in a hotel room where you'd get $50 to turn up and you would be videoed. And people were a bit suspicious. Like, you know, it's some dodgy hotel in America.
Going to film you in a hotel room.
$50? Okay, what's all this about? So the techie guy was meeting them in the reception, took them to the hotel room, and then they tested it. And they said it was a really good experience, because had they just done the original robot, they would not have got the response. So they got a really, really good response. People appreciated the little things with the dancing and the But they did learn that actually you've got to kind of manage people's expectations, otherwise it sounded a bit dodgy, you know. $50.
Here's Gary the robot. Gary the robot's going to appear at your door in your hotel room, and here's $50.
And you're going to get filmed.
Yeah. Okay.
So that was what happened from that was they got loads of interest. So they then sold into quite a big hotel chain, and the PR from it was amazing. You know, they had this little robot that did a little dance and had a face. It was a bit friendly. And they gave it a name. I mean, it might not be Gary, but, you know.
I think we need to find out. Find out. We'll put it in the show notes. We will try and put a link or something in there. Yeah. So I'm wondering how, from a marketing perspective, because if it can be applied to anything and it can be applied to a service, I'm wondering how we can apply some of this to maybe marketing, the core concepts. You know, when we think about a campaign that we want to run, then, you know, we're looking at things like the audience and what's the creative and all of these kind of things. And those sometimes campaigns can take quite a long time to come to fruition. In fact, it's gone out of my mind, but there was a campaign that I saw recently, which I can't remember where I read it, but they were talking about how long this campaign had actually taken to get to market. I don't think it was like Warburton's or something like that, but it was a decent brand that had taken a while for this to come up. I'm guessing from what you're saying that if we applied that principle, what we're really looking at is getting, say, the marketing people in the room, the people who create who do the website, who create the Facebook ads and the social, the MD from the client, say, who's got to sign it off, and maybe some key stakeholders. Yeah. Oh, I used a bit of jargon there, stakeholders. In a room.
Yep.
To kind of go, okay, well, let's use the same principle. So how might that work?
Oh, use the how might we? So that would be the big thing about design sprints is framing the challenge or the problem really, really clearly. So you can do some pre-work to that, which is called like a lightning decision jam, which is where you spend time with the client for about 45 minutes, being really clear about what it is it we're sprinting here. Because if you're not clear and you're just like, well, I've got a bit of an idea.
Would that be like a launch? So if it was a launch of a product, so, you know, I know we're talking about services or whatever, but like if it was a product, you know, the service that we're trying to, I guess, sprint is the marketing campaign.
Yeah.
And they've got a product. So they want to launch the product, but it could be that actually, we want to launch a product, we actually want to sell. So what's the thing there? Is it the launch or the sale?
They would need to think carefully about what we're sprinting. So are we going to we would spend some time thinking about, are we going to sprint building a prototype of a landing page or a Facebook campaign?
Okay.
It would be quite hard to do the whole campaign. It's possible, but it's
so you can chunk them down.
You can chunk them down. Yeah, so you might say the campaign is so, for example, one that I did was a banking app.
Yeah.
So the bank had decided that they were losing out. They were a bit of a traditional bank and they were losing out to people like Monzo. So how can we compete with someone like Monzo and gain market share, for example? So you would sprint the campaign around how do we get people to come to our app and why is our app better than Monzo? And how are we going to target people? So you would work on that.
Yeah,
does that make sense? Yeah. So you might not do, well, we'll do all the PR around it and we'll do this and do it. There'll be talk of that, but the prototype will be, how do we get people to come to that app? And then what is the user experience?
So if I was to pretend to write a diagram here, you've got that initial problem of let's understand the challenges and work out the reasons why we're better.
Yes.
That's maybe step one.
Yeah.
In terms of the campaign, well, it might be that out of that comes a need for, well, actually we have to explain that. So let's explain that in a video. So what does that video look like?
Yes.
That could be another sprint.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You could then prototype the video.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you could have a couple of things that come from that sprint. But what you'll get by the Friday is you should be really clear about what that journey will be like.
Right.
And so you'll have a prototype and you'll have enough to go away and then build and the proper thing.
Yeah, okay, I understand.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So it takes less time to get to a decision on what the next steps are.
Yeah.
You agree what those steps are and you've got tasks or whatever to go and do that. And then is there an opportunity then to sort of reconvene and say, well, let's show what the prototype is, or let's, you know, when the what about after all that, when the campaign's launched, say, and we need to assess whether or not it worked, is there any kind of analysis phase of a design sprint?
Traditionally, you would do that sprint and then the client would decide, right, we've got enough here to carry on, thank you very much. Yeah. But you would, obviously, as a facilitator, you would go back and look at, well, how did that go? What were the results? That sort of thing. And then you may even say, we need to sprint again because we built a prototype.
Yeah.
We need to tweak the prototype. We need to do it again. And we need to do user testing with a different group.
Right.
And then this is your final prototype ready to go to the real thing, if you like.
Okay.
So it just depends on the client and also how well the sprint goes in that week, really. So
okay. So there's lots of different ways that this can be adapted. Yeah. Lots of different, it's not limited by sector or anything like that.
No.
It's thinking and putting that in. I think what I like about this is that it's adaptability, actually.
Yeah.
That it is about thinking. And as I said at the beginning, what we're about here is trying to get people to think about things in different ways. Because if I was to say, I don't know, talk about a generic marketing campaign, you know, you'd get the marketing manager or director and you get, you know, the team, and then maybe do a bit of brainstorming on a whiteboard, and yeah. then someone would be tasked to go and create a Facebook
yes.
ad or something
yeah.
like that. And it just kind of, it's like slime. I'm going to use slime. So I have young children and slime is like the thing. But,
yeah.
you know, you open a tub of slime, it never goes back
yeah.
in.
Yeah.
Right. And it sort of splurges out, and then it's kind of a general organic mess.
And sometimes you lose the kind of point of what
yeah.
you're doing, because
yeah.
lots of people get involved.
Things
or
change. People
things
start
change.
Tweaking
yes.
things without yeah. without focus, and they lose, well, what happened when and what was
yeah.
the point of that? And this seems much more structured.
Yes, and people then can't have their own agendas, if you know what I mean, because the whole purpose is that, does this work for the user?
Yeah.
Does this campaign work for the human at the end of this?
So, I mean, this is kind of like audience definition as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
And understanding yeah. who they are and what the experience is that they
definitely.
Need to get from that.
Yeah, so you can't argue with that. If, the user testing says they just didn't get it, or they like parts of it, but other parts were really clunky and they didn't get it, you can't argue with that. Even if that's your baby and you've
yeah.
been working on that idea,
that
for
objectivity.
Months and months, it brings that objectivity.
Which is hard sometimes in marketing
yeah.
because you are attached to this brilliant idea that
yeah.
that you had, and you know it was a really great idea to get, I don't know, Noel Edmonds as part of your campaign, but you know, in reality it
yeah.
didn't, it just didn't work
yeah.
for a group of 18 to 25
exactly.
year olds, because they didn't know who the hell he was.
Didn't know who he was. Yeah,
no.
So that's exactly right. And I think as well, it's what I quite liked about it is that those people have a voice, and that
yeah.
I ran one recently where the quietest person and the youngest person in the room actually came up with the best idea,
and
it
not?
Was like high five moment.
And
it was like, wow.
Yeah, well, without you know, without getting on high horses, I mean, when I go around and do various workshops and things like that, often a business might send in an intern or somebody relatively junior, because they're told, "Oh, go and learn this," you know,
yeah.
off you go. And actually, they have such brilliant ideas
yeah.
because actually, they're fresh.
They're fresh.
You know,
yeah.
they haven't got any baggage. Oh no, that won't work, and all that kind
yes,
of stuff.
Yeah.
So I think that's great that it brings people
in a business. And I've been there myself. When you're really busy, and somebody comes in and says, "I've got this amazing idea, and I've already worked up a business plan and a sort of a reason for us to do it," and then everyone just goes, "Yeah, we'll just go with Tim's, you know, he's got the idea, he's already worked on it, come on, let's just go with
yeah.
that." And it's like, but Tim's idea might not have been the best idea,
yeah.
but we're all busy and he's put a bit of graft in, so let's just crack on with that. I'm using the Love Island phrases now.
<That's>
you can still be watching.
Crack on
and grafting.
Well, let's crack on, because I've got some general questions to ask you, okay? Right, these are just standard questions that we've asked everybody else. So we just want your honest view. So thinking about marketing and people that you've seen, who's really doing it for you in marketing? People that you either listen to or see, or I don't know.
I suppose it is the AJ and Smart stuff at the moment, because they're really fun and they're doing like a really important job, but they make it really entertaining. So they do really cool podcasts and lots of really great Facebook marketing and stuff. Okay. So yeah, I really like their stuff. And they build a community, which is what I love.
The communities are everything for sure. And what about technology? What piece of technology are you using a lot that you really like at the moment?
That's a good question. I've tried a bit of Snapchat and I'm just not getting my head around that. I'm obviously too old for the Snapchat thing. Technology, what am I using? I can't think of anything like that's new that I'm using.
Okay, well, it doesn't have to be new.
I just can't think of anything.
Okay, that's fine, no worries. What about an advert? An advert that you've seen that's any good? Like a product or...
Yeah, I don't know.
Must be the Love Island ones because, yeah, you know, you're watching it.
Yeah, I know, but I'm still not enjoying it, but I'm making myself watch it.
Stay down with the kids,
Lindsay. I think, even though I'm not into football, there's been some good Premiership football. Obviously, that's kind of like, you know, the season's come to an end and stuff, but it's... Some of the images they use and the movement and all that sort of stuff has been quite creative and amazing. Even though I'm not a football fan, I still respect and admire some of the stuff they're doing.
A lot of money going into that advertising.
Yeah.
You've been to Marketed Live.
Yeah.
Why should people come?
It's a really good day and you leave with loads of ideas. And you kind of, I think the problem is when you work in marketing and especially if you work in an agency or a big company, you can kind of get a little bit carried away with what you're doing and it makes you open your mind. So you go, you're sitting with great people that you can chat with and network with and just exchange ideas and thoughts, but also the speakers are really good and they're very inspirational. So you're writing loads of notes and you're thinking about how can I apply this back in the office when I get back, and it definitely gives you that, and it's a fun day. It's a really nice day.
It is fun. That's, yeah. Well, I mean, that comes down to experience again, yeah. And whether there's a good experience. That's what we're trying to do. Thank you for that. Thank you for coming on today's show. Where can people get in touch with you, or if they want to connect with you to talk about design sprints, what's the best way of them getting in touch?
A couple of ways. So I'm on LinkedIn, Lindsay Newman Wood, or you can, I'm on Instagram as well. I'm on Twitter.
Snapchat?
Yeah, don't bother with Snapchat. I don't get it. I'm rubbish at that bit. But yeah, I'm always open to chatting to people because I just think design sprints exciting. I'm happy to even just have a coffee and a chat with somebody to tell them the benefits of this. It's the future.
That you heard it here first, folks. Go and connect with Lindsay and go and look up some design sprints. Thanks very much, Lindsay. Okay. Well, that's all for this episode of Marketed Not Live. Don't forget, you know, if you have enjoyed our little chat today about design sprints, then please leave us a review on the podcast platform of your choice. And just help us spread the word about the podcast. People may want to listen to it, and hopefully they'll come to Marketed Live in September. But if they can't come, then at least they've got something interesting to listen to. But talking about the event, remember, it brings together experts from all marketing disciplines. So, you know, if marketing is your thing, or if you've just got an interest in it, then we need to see you there. So visit marketed.live. For all the info on speakers, travel options, accommodation, read the blogs from your fellow attendees and speakers. And hopefully we'll see you there. If not, we'll see you next time on Marketing Not Live.